The future belongs to those who control the culture, and the culture belongs to those who control the conversation. So we are having the conversations you wish you could have at church to build a safe and vibrant community. This is the Oz Table Talk Podcast. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Oz Table Talk. My name is Luke and I'm here at the table, which is a very large table at this point, with Dave, Cody, you'll hear about him in a second, Ben, Matt, the good-looking Matt,
yeah, I'm here.
And Steve. Hey everybody.
Hello.
Good hey. Evening.
I always feel like a teacher, you know, you're waiting for the entire class to respond.
Yes. By the way, happy birthday, just in case they don't know.
Yeah. Yes.
No, thank but you. Don't wish him happy birthday, because by the time this is released, it won't be his birthday. So it'll be
yeah. I know, just to date ourselves terribly, like this is the 29th of April. So yeah, you're hearing this probably sometime at the end of May. So
possibly early June.
Yeah, possibly June at this point. So.
Are you a very brave man or are you very vain?
He just wants us a fan mail for next
yeah.
week.
Yeah. Say what? You just announced your birthday to everybody who listens to this podcast.
What effect would that possibly have?
Well, I mean, they might wish you a happy birthday.
Well, wouldn't that be a bit late?
I don't... Never mind.
Okay, so what we've established is I am not brave, nor am I vain. I just don't care.
Is that what we've established, though? Anyway.
Anyway, I want to cycle back because, as I said, we have Cody at the table with us. And Cody is... brand new. This is the first time that he's been hanging out with us. He didn't even plan necessarily to jump on a recording tonight, but we convinced him and he was blackmailed.
Yeah. Dragging and screaming.
He now has a mic, so yeah. welcome Cody.
Thank you.
So just for people that have no idea who you are, you want to give us a little bit of context, who you are, what you do?
Well, I work in childcare. Mm-hmm. Doing my diploma at the moment. Only just moved to Bundy. Probably shouldn't say that on the podcast. And yeah, grew up in Mackay with Steve.
Yeah. That it? We have referenced Cody on the podcast before.
That's yeah. my voice.
Yeah. Beautiful. Because he likes Steve's voice. Yeah. Either that or it's a childhood joke.
So,
good to have you, Cody.
Yeah, Cody. So, just curious, what sort of things are you passionate about? And I don't necessarily mean like spiritually, but just in life. What are you really keen on?
Yeah, I love playing music. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I'm going through the phase of the ukulele.
Mm-hmm. Going through the phase of ukulele.
Yeah.
I am actually so keen to get a ukulele. Like, I've wanted one for ages, so...
Yeah. JB Hi-Fi's got a sale.
With the ukulele, you can just hold one and you're cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Says the guy on the Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. What else do you play, Cody?
I play guitar and a little bit of keyboard.
Nice.
So, well, does anyone else have any questions for Cody before we...
Steve.
Hey, do I have any questions?
No, I know everything there is to know about Cody. Yeah.
Cool. Well, does anyone have anything? You're laughing, Dave, so I'm going to leave the gap open.
I was just... Nobody else had questions for Cody.
Yeah.
Poor Cody.
Poor Cody.
I was going to ask him if next time, you know, when he comes, could he bring his ukulele and play something? That'd be pretty cool. Oh,
yeah. Yes.
I've got it in the car.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay, so listen to the end of this episode, and literally at the end of this episode, there will be a soundbite of Cody playing.
I've broken my finger, guys.
He literally has a broken finger, I forgot. Okay.
I'll strum for you.
There won't be. That's not going to help. Wrong hand.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm really sorry for going off with that promise. It will happen in the future. There you go. Done.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Just give it to DeRossi. Yeah. He'll hold it with his Hawaiian shirt and look cool.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Cool. Okay. Well, the topic of this episode is one that we've actually kicked around for a while, but haven't actually made an episode around. And I think it has a lot of potential. So the concept is... Is fake it till you make it actually a viable approach to Christianity, to the spiritual life? So maybe before we get some opening remarks on that, have any of you guys actually consciously taken that approach? Hey, I'm just going to fake it till I make it.
No.
Not to my Christian experience, no. With everything else in life. But that, because like that's like a sacred, man. You don't mess with it then. So I don't know. Like until tonight, yeah, I'm the clock's still thinking about that.
Until
yeah.
tonight? You mean you're doing it now?
No. Thinking of, is it a viable, viable option for your, Christian law? Can you just continue banking it?
You've never thought about it.
No, I've never thought about it, but I guess it can work the same way as you do with your career and that as well. You push yourself to perhaps take Sabbath school lessons, you push yourself to do certain things and lead out, though how you end up in the end, I don't know.
I feel like there's a difference between fake it till you make it before God mm-hmm. and fake it till you make it before people.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's a very different answer if you ask me that question.
Mm-hmm.
We can't hide anything from God, so I don't figure there's any point in bothering. Mm. But people, all the time. Yeah. You get asked to preach a sermon on a bad week, and you do it.
Mm.
You don't say, I can't.
I don't feel it.
Yeah, I'm not really connected with Jesus right now. You know what I mean?
Isn't that a shame, though, that...
It is.
You see the church previously wasn't an individual, the religious experience wasn't dictated necessarily super individually. Like the church was just like a body who did most things together,
right?
And like journeyed together. Like it'd be good if we could function a bit more like that.
So that if you were having an off week, it didn't matter.
Yeah, and you wouldn't necessarily feel like you have to fake it,
right?
To the same extent.
Yeah. Oh, I agree, man.
Mm. I think that we just have to recognize that as humans, we have limited capacity and we will have off weeks. And I used to be really hard on myself, especially in like the situation that you were referring to, Dave, where you're asked to preach and you say yes, but you definitely don't feel like you're in a good place. You could probably say that your relationship with God is not even doing very well. And yet you still say yes, you still sit up there, you still preach and you still come down. I used to give myself a real hard time for that, in multiple contexts. That could be leading a Bible study or, teaching a small group or preaching a sermon, whatever it may be. I used to, anyway, until I sort of changed my mind on that and I recognized that if I truly believe that the Holy Spirit is the one that is doing the teaching and the convicting, then it doesn't actually matter if I'm feeling good about it or not. The Holy Spirit can still do a good work through that. I may not benefit in the same way, I may be missing out, but I don't necessarily believe that God can't use somebody just because they're having a bad week or they're having a bad time. And so therefore I just say yes. That there is a fine line, and I think the fine line comes where you were talking, Dave, between whether you're actually trying to hide it from God or the people that are around you. If you're if you are trying to hide it from God or just pretend that your spiritual condition is good and then go and do ministry from that place of pretending, I think that's way more exhausting. Way more exhausting. I don't think you can sustain that for any period of time. You'll burn out. So,
yeah.
That's my thought.
Do you think that the attitude of the Pharisees is kind of a fake it till you make it attitude or not? Like, is legalistic religion, does it classify as fake it till you make it?
I guess they're not trying to... they wouldn't say they're faking it. Like, we probably would say that they are, but in their point of view, they're not faking it. They're doing their best to meet the guidelines.
Right.
They're on the road to righteousness.
Yeah.
Which is what actually makes it more dangerous, right?
Yeah. Well, like the Pharisees would say we're there.
Yeah.
We tithe our, cumin and whatever.
Anise, yeah.
Yeah, that we're there, we've done it. But, that's not what we would class as making it, I guess.
Mm.
That being, comparing it back to what you were saying with your... preaching on off week and all the rest of it, but is it really faking your Christian walk really, because all you're doing is trying to do your best in a kind of an off week. Hmm. I mean, we're human beings. We're going to have off times. Hmm. It doesn't mean that we're faking our Christian experience.
Hmm.
It does mean that we are putting a good face on for people, but I just, I don't really feel that that's faking our Christian experience.
Yeah, I think there's certainly, in my experience, there's certainly a level of faking an experience, though.
Mm.
Because you want to put on a good performance of passion and enthusiasm for the sake of your audience, even though that might not be what you're feeling. So, yeah, I definitely can see where you're coming from, and I agree with you. But, yeah, I think there's an element of it still for me, personally. But I guess the question that I was just asking myself is, like, for what purpose are we faking it? You know, like, are we doing it for the sake of ourselves or for others?
Yeah.
And for me, I think, as far as I can think, it's usually for the sake of others, I think, which kind of makes it okay. Because in my perspective, like, I think this is what you already said, so just saying it a different way, but I sort of feel like if I can still be a blessing to other people, even if I know in my heart of hearts that it's not genuine, then I should be a blessing to those other people for their sake. And so when I am having that kind of experience, you know, like I'm teaching Sabbath school or I'm preaching or, you know, I'm having a spiritual conversation with someone when I know I didn't have any devotions this morning or whatever, what I try and do is I just say, God, just use me in spite of me for the sake of this person that you love. And I think God honors that prayer because he will use anyone, you know. He'll speak through anyone. He said that, didn't he? You know, I'll speak through a donkey, I'll speak through a rock. Pretty sure he can speak through me on an off day, you know. And so I think, you know, if we're willing to just trust that God is good enough in spite of the fact that we are not, that he can make up for our lack.
I think one of the pieces of the puzzle is what you were saying about the Pharisees triggered this idea. I think self-deception is probably the biggest problem. Like if you are trying to, you know, fake it, for want of a better term, and you start believing your own press, if you start actually believing that you are in a good place and things are really good, even if they're not, if you actually believe that, you're actually starting to, like, go on that self-deception cycle like King Saul did, you know, where you eventually you can get to the place where you're telling yourself virtually anything and believing it. Like, as an example, you know, God looks favorably on what I'm doing, when you're actually living in a way that is not even close to what his plan was for you. So I think that's the danger. If we get ourselves into the place of being self-deceived to the point where you think, yes, well, what I'm doing is actually very good, when what you're doing actually isn't very good.
Yeah. So, like, I guess we've been talking about it from the perspective of you already have a, like, I guess from your guys' perspective, you already have a strong connection with God and you have an off week. So you're faking a performance.
Yeah.
What about, like, actually faking your Christianity? So you may be a new Christian and you haven't had that full experience like you guys have been sharing, and you've had, like, you don't know what it's like to be, like, connected. Is, like, at what point do you stop faking it, I guess? Like, you feel like you're faking it, at least initially, when you're, you know, doing your devotions, when you're praying. You may feel like you're faking it for, like, I don't know, however long. Like, at what point do you transition from that? Like, are you actually making it because you're trying, or are you faking it until a certain point where you're actually making it? I guess that's my question.
It's a great question.
Well, how do you know that you've got a relationship with God? Like, I think that can sort of mean the same thing. If you know that you're faking it, that must mean that you don't have that connection with God.
Yeah.
If you don't know that you're faking it and you think you have a connection with God, then you obviously don't know that you're faking it, you know?
Yeah, it's a much more dangerous situation, and it requires a certain amount of self-awareness, which is often very difficult.
I see your point, and I agree with that on that level, but I think there is a level at which that you will definitely feel like you're faking it. And I think it's actually a good thing when you first interact with God. If you've never had that experience before and, you know, you start reading your Bible or praying, it's going to feel strange. It's going to feel like, well, that's not really me, you know. I've spoken to guys that just recently I was actually chatting to a guy who has come to God literally in the last few months. And he was saying how he finds it so strange that his language is changing and all of this because he has been living one way for, you know, this guy's probably close 60-ish. Like he's probably and he was talking about how these things have changed in his life and how different it feels. And I think that's natural. If you have an identity that you have lived in for years, and then all of a sudden you're trying to shift that identity to being a man or a woman of faith and doing those sort of spiritual disciplines, that's going to feel very fake until it normalizes. And so I think it is appropriate to do that. But where that line is, I think, is going to be dependent for you, different for you. The line I would say is when it stops feeling weird, when you actually feel like it is genuine and you want to talk to God, you want to do those things. I think that's probably the
what you just said, want, I think is the important change, because if we do something long enough, it normalizes whether we believe it or not.
Yes.
But that want that comes from our core belief. It's basically our self-identity.
Yeah.
And I think that is a good indication of our connection with God, the want to actually do the Christian things, have that walk with God, that want. Whereas if you've done the Christian walk till it normalizes, but there's not that want there, then it can indication that you've still got a struggle there. Mm. Doesn't mean that you don't have a connection with God, but it does mean that you haven't got a strong connection.
Mm. I like that you use the word identity. Like, you know, I was thinking last year I started running for the first time in my life. If you had have said, "Are you a runner?" I would have laughed at you, right? And it was weird. When I started, I felt ridiculous because I could barely run like half a K before like petering out. And that felt so strange. After doing that for a few months, you know, I got more proficient at it. And then we moved and I haven't run since. And I'm about to start up again, but it's been months since I have. And if you ask me now, am I a runner? I'd say, well, yeah, but I'm not running right now, right? Because it's a part of my identity now. I ran long enough for it to become something that I knew I could do and I enjoyed doing and I want to do again. I just haven't quite got back to it yet. And I think that's the same with our spirituality. When we do have that experience with God, yes, we do have to be careful because we don't want to lose that experience. But just because you're having, I think that's the shift, right? Where you were talking about before, Steve, where you can identify, hey, this is just a rough patch that I'm in right now. But at the beginning, you need to go through that awkward time frame. That's the way I would think about it.
So, defining making it as being saved, are you saying that...
Oh, okay.
So, what are we defining by making it? Are we saying, like, you're, like, a mature Christian, or are we defining it as, like, you're saved? Because if it's a salvation thing, I'd argue that if you're doing the things feeling like you're faking it, so you're just faking it because you know it's what you need to do to connect to God, I would say that... you are saved. I wouldn't say that you're mature in your walk with God, but then like the transition you were talking about, that's when I'd say that you are like that. That's when you're
getting
maturing.
Toward maturing. Yeah.
Yeah. But then like Cody's situation where he was saying that they don't know that they're like, you don't know that you're faking it basically, even though you are. In that situation, I'd say like both situations are negative. Like you're not mature. And potentially you're not saved either because you're not recognizing or have that connection that you're actually like striving for. You're not like running the race like Paul says.
Yeah, it's always harder. Like I find whenever a conversation like this, whenever we get as far as salvation, the Bible's so clear that, you know, what's required for salvation, and it is simple and it is easy. It doesn't require us to jump through those hoops. No. But at the same time, the hardest thing about it is you can't ever easily identify it for somebody else, right?
Yeah.
And so because you can't do that, it's very hard to actually...
It's a self-assessment.
It's a self-assessment, right? And the heart is deceitful above all things. It can tell... You know, your heart can tell you you're saved... and you're just trying to make yourself feel good, but at the same time, and I think this is possibly more the case in our time and our culture, our heart spends a lot of time telling us that we're not saved, when in actual fact it's a completely different issue that we're dealing with.
Yeah. So you say, like, someone like Paul, who had such a strong ministry and said, you know, he was the chief among sinners,
yeah,
he would have felt like he was faking it.
Yeah.
But he'd actually made it.
Yeah.
Like a long, long, long time ago. But even towards the end of his ministry, he still had those, like I don't deserve to be here, but I'm here because of, like, what Dave was saying, because God's using me. And the gifts that he's given me and his testimony to reach other people.
Yeah, and I think there is a value in long-term Christianity, right? Like, and I think that's a part of the maturing process, that you can observe the fruit. And when you've seen the fruit of Christian experience long enough, it's a lot easier to identify. And it is when you're still new to the experience, it's harder to see and have that faith that God truly is accepting and loving you, and you know, having building that relationship with him.
I would define making it as having faith in Jesus. I was thinking about your question initially, Steve. You asked, if I'm not mistaken, you asked at what point does a new Christian stop faking it, like before they've made it. And I would say my answer to that is as soon as possible. Like, if you consider yourself as faking it, just acknowledge that, you know, and then you've made it, in my opinion.
I like that.
Like, if you consider yourself as unworthy and you acknowledge your unworthiness, then you're already saved. Do you know what I mean? Because you've turned to Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's all you needed to do.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And so then continue as a fake, but as a recognizing that you're
fake.
Yeah, recognizing that you are unworthy and you will be for the rest of your life.
So what you're saying is the goal is not making it, the goal is authenticity.
Yeah. Yeah, just be real with God, you know? Just tell him, I don't feel like a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, help, you know, I believe, help my unbelief, sort of thing. And I think that's really the best thing we can offer God. I don't know, I've been thinking about what you've been saying, and I just think it's that simple, you know?
Yeah.
Salvation is all about our faith and trust in Jesus.
Being able to humble yourself.
Yeah.
To acknowledge that.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, we don't like that. We don't like being real with God about our struggles. We like being pious and we like saying the right things. But I actually think that it would be more valuable if we just told him the truth all the time. You know, we don't need to pretend like everything's okay. And I was thinking, you know, what you're saying about the Apostle Paul. I don't know, do you guys ever like pray the same prayer as I do? Like, you find yourself feeling like there's never going to be a time where you're going to feel like you're good enough.
Right? I was just thinking that. I'm like, does anyone feel like they're there and stay there?
Right, right.
And you mean so got everything together.
That yeah, sort of well, thing. No, yeah. I just feel like I'm constantly drowning, you know, and I feel like I'm never going to get out of this. But if I can help someone else get out while I'm stuck in here, then great. And so I sometimes pray that prayer. I'm like, God, like, even if I'm lost, at least help me to, you know, help somebody else find their way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes you're going through a private battle that you can't see an end to. You know, you don't believe that you're getting out of that thing. You know, you're trying to place all your faith and trust in Jesus, but it doesn't seem to be doing anything. And so you feel like you're in a situation of complete despair, but you have opportunities to minister to other people, and you're like, I should be doing this, right? I'm not there, you know, I'm not there. And I wonder whether that's what Paul was like trying to articulate there. I'm the chief of sinners, and yet he was also the chief evangelist of the new church, the early church. Well, like, is it possible that could be our experience, you know, that we would actually feel lost, but in our lostness we're also helping others to be found?
Yeah, but I struggle with that, because, like, I don't think God wants us to feel
Lost.
And that's why my brain just, like, fries thinking about stuff like this, because it's, I don't know.
Do you think the closer we get to God, the more perfect we'll feel? Or the closer we get to God, the more of a sinner we feel?
Absolutely.
Definitely more of a sinner we feel, but the more assurance we should feel.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. So just a question, just something you mentioned, Dave, just triggered a question in my own mind, which I'm curious for everybody here. That honesty toward God, do you feel like you are, does it go in seasons, or over time do you feel like you're becoming more honest with God or less?
I think it depends. Like, it comes and goes in waves pretty much. Like, it's, yeah, like, it's, you go through your bad patches and then, you know, I think it goes back to a question, you know, sometimes it gets asked a lot in appeals, you know, whether it be you know, the pulpit or even a Sabbath school lesson, they can say, you know, do you feel saved? And depending on that Sabbath, you can have a different answer. You can fake it, be like, oh yeah, I feel saved today. Yeah, sure. But you still put up your hand. Yeah. I don't know.
You sound stressed, man.
Like I said, like, you know, when it comes to career and stuff, it's quite easy, but when it comes to spiritual things like this, it's very, I always tread very carefully with it, and I think I like to more think out loud.
I'm definitely becoming more and more honest.
And that is so freeing, to have that degree of honesty. I think we were chatting about this something similar anyway earlier tonight before we were recording, but for me, I spent so much time when I was younger, through, you know, throughout my late teens and through my 20s, trying to do the right thing, check all the boxes, you know, do all of the right things that would arrive me at being the good person, you know, the righteous individual, whatever that may be. And I, you know, broke down so many times, like, along that process. And now I am, if I was to look at it objectively, I am probably got more things together, so to speak, than I did then. But I am totally honest about it. I only started actually making any progress whatsoever when I stopped trying to look like I had it all together. And I think that is where we have to get to grow in Christian maturity. We have to be okay with being honest, firstly with God, but also to an extent with the people around us, because, you know, they, if you can successfully put a mask on, they're going to say, wow, that guy is doing so well. I can't relate to him, but he's doing well, you know, and it's a lonely place if you get yourself into that zone. And, you know, when I started actually being a real person, then I was finally able to start making some ground in my own experience. So, yeah, but yeah, definitely agree with Dave. For me, I've definitely, it's a steady trajectory from being less honest to being more honest.
I've been thinking of I got a question from kind of tying it before, and that was, you know, how we were talking about how we were always trying to put on a good face for the congregation, especially up at the front. I was just wondering, well, if we were a little bit more honest, I mean, not absolutely brutally honest, I mean, that's only for those closest to you, but a little bit more honest with the congregation in general, wouldn't that make us more relatable and basically let them know, yes, we all struggle with our Christian walk. It's okay that you're struggling as well. You don't have to feel like you're alone. Do you think that, because we were talking about how we put on this facade to help them, but is it also not helping them?
Yeah, because I guess it comes down to, Dave was mentioning being authentic, at least, like, in our relationship to God.
The problem with that is, because I long for that, you know, to be the case, Ben. The problem with that is that it's a culture. And so if you step out and speak, you know, authentically into that culture where that's not seen as socially appropriate, you know, there will be some people, of course, who will, you know, grasp, be benefited by that. But then there's also going to be a bunch that are going to write you off immediately at that point and not listen to a word you have to say after that point. And I think I'm willing to take that risk. But yeah, I just wanted to point out that risk.
It's a quick way to go from church leadership to pew warmer, isn't it?
I guess some people would view it as like... I was just saying, I guess some people would view it as like you're losing your authority, even though... Like, as as the presenter, they go, you know, how can you be, you know, like you're saying, Dave, it doesn't matter where you're at.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit can use you as long as, you know, you, like, your heart's in the right place.
Mm.
Yeah.
But from a people point of view, it's like wild. I listened to a guy whose business has gone broke for business advice. Like, it doesn't make human sense.
Yep.
Yeah. You're telling me how I can love God and have a personal relationship with Him, and you're telling me that, you know,
you don't have one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that is a challenge, because like I've definitely been the guy in the pew listening to a presentation and saying, well, you don't have that together, so why am I listening to you? I have been that guy. But I am much more compassionate to such people at this point of my life. But I do think that it is very possible for people to learn from their experience. And so if somebody who has experienced bankruptcy is telling me what not to do, I'm probably going to listen to that.
Yeah.
You know, if they're telling me what to do, I may be more skeptical. But if it's a cautionary tale from their experience, then I think...
That's not so bad.
That's more relatable.
Then you're actually speaking from experience.
I just want to go back a while when we were talking about our own personal walks. I tend to, when I'm up playing my ukulele or guitar, I tend to doze off because, not in a sleep, but just I listen to music and play it. So I really like that bit about myself, and it really helpful when, you know, I've got no chords in front of me and I can play some music. But sometimes I sort of just start thinking about something random and not about the spiritual impact this might have on someone, you know.
Mm.
And I come back to it and realize there's a key change and I'm not in the key change. So in that way, it goes up. I play music and then I doze off and my walk goes a little sidetracked. And that's how my walk has been. Yeah.
I guess back to what Dave said, you know, you realize that, and I think that's the first part. Yeah,
definitely.
Mm.
And so I guess when we do recognize that we are faking it, I think the action step, I guess, that is there is acknowledging it, right? Like, just like you were saying, Dave, that once you do, and as you just put out, Matt, once we do that, then we can actually do something about it. But until we get to that place, we're powerless.
Mm-hmm.
We have no control whatsoever.
So, were you going to do anything, Dave, or are you just looking for...
Oh, I had a different thought, but I don't want to take it down that rabbit hole. It's all good.
Oh, I was just going to ask what... So, like, you acknowledge that you've been faking it, or, like, mm-hmm. you're at that place. Like, what's the next step? Like, what do you think? Like, just to...
Such a good question.
Make this a little bit more practical. Like, you feel like you're there, you're faking it. Mm-hmm. What's next? What do you do?
For me, when I've been in that situation, the answer is almost always got two aspects to it. One is it's usually associated with feeling pressure somewhere, as in, like, if I feel feeling overwhelmed with some responsibility, you know, spiritually or something like that, usually I need to take a step back from whatever that is first, because I don't have a healthy relationship with whatever that thing is, you know, be that teaching a Sabbath school or whatever it may be. But the second aspect of that, and this may be a function of my personality more than a universal rule, but I am the kind of person that if I'm going to understand something for myself, I can't just sit down and think about it. I have to talk about it. And so for me, the next stage is almost always to chat about it with the people that are closest to me, like you guys. So when I do that, it helps me put those things in the right holes. I don't necessarily need, I mean, if there is advice that comes from other people, that's great. But I don't necessarily need that, but I need to unpack it. I need to process it. And by talking about it, I tend to be able to successfully put everything where it needs to be, and then I can start moving in the right direction again. That's my experience. Anyway, what about you guys? Like, when you've found yourself there, what do you do?
You do question yourself a lot, I guess, in my experience. Like, I guess you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, why am I who I am? And then I guess you look at the, you know, why am I Christian? And then, you know, it just goes there. And then I think as long as, you know, we do look back on the good times and actually remember, you know, the experiences of the past and, you know, what has led us to this point, that's what really helps me. And also talking with people about it, you know, I'm struggling with this, you know, and then, you know, we can uplift each other.
Because we're a community of believers, and the ability to lift each other up, is particularly when we're having a rough time, is so important. Because we're social creatures. We can't just get through this life all on our own. And having a community around us. And as we were saying, there are some at church that won't understand, but there's bound to be some people, even if it's only one or two people, that if they get it, then life becomes a lot easier, and it can really help to continue to build your faith.
And I think this authenticity that we're talking about is fostered best in smaller contexts. Yes, we can be honest from up the front, you know, no matter what the cost, like we were chatting about before. But I think I think ultimately the best place for this to happen is in small, I don't mean small groups with a capital S, like, you know, as in like a mandated, hey, let's talk about this. But I mean, like, in your own little circles of friends, like where those sort of conversations happen, I think that's where it's most powerful. So I guess, to anyone want to make some summary statements around this idea of faking it till you make it? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What do you think we've learned?
Before we go there, can I just answer Steve's question?
Yeah.
And maybe turn it back to you as well.
Get back to my burrow.
Just fake it, man. You've got this.
Yeah. So I think the first and most important step, as I said before, is to acknowledge that, yeah, you're not feeling it right now, directly to God. Be honest, be open. Not just, I mean, tell him all about it. Not just tell him, but tell him all about it. And I think as you do that, he will reveal something to you, whether it's through your own mind, as you think it through and talk about it with him, or, you know, whether he will reveal it to you some other way, one of the ways out. But yeah, otherwise, I think just genuinely seeking after God. I was just reading through Psalm 63, and, you know, David in Psalm 63 is expressing on the right side of this coin, you know, how it feels to long for God. You know, he says that he seeks God early, his soul thirsts for him, his flesh longs for him. He talks about seeking, looking for him in the sanctuary. He talks about his loving kindness being better than life. And I just think, you know, some of the language in the Psalms just really testifies to what the Christian life can look like. And so I wonder whether, you know, whether dwelling on those things that, like, if you realize you're not there yet, but you'd like to be, dwell on those things that represent what you'd like to be. You know what I mean? Go to the Word and look for, you know, what does it look like to have a genuine experience with God, and sort of seek it out that way. As I said, I just think most of the journey is just in honestly going through that with God. You know, taking it all to him, working through it with him. Here's a verse from that psalm. He says, "My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." And in the original language there, that word "follows close behind you," it's very sort of picturesque language. And it really just is talking about, like, tailgating, so to speak, like being like just... basically being one, you know, he's almost saying my soul is glued to you. And so I think if you're going through a situation where that's not the case, just get as close to God as you can. And in my experience, that's best achieved through honesty.
Well, I think that's a pretty good place for us to land this one. So I just want to thank you guys for sticking with us through the episode. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, share it with a friend, and we will catch you guys next week.
And that's the end of another episode. Just before I head off, I want to encourage you to go over to our page on Facebook and also our account on Instagram and follow us there, because that is where we interact with our listeners, and we would love for you to enter in and join the conversation. Also, while you're signing up, I would also recommend signing up to our mailing list on our website, oztabletalk.com.au. If you do that, you will receive our exclusive content, because occasionally we do release exclusives and they only go out to our mailing list. So I would strongly recommend you go and sign up for that. If you have a few more minutes to be one of the most amazing listeners on the planet, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review, because reviews help us to grow and they help other people to find us. So if you want to help us reach those goals, please jump in and give us a review. The final message that I'd like to leave you with is to let you know about our Patreon account. Now, Patreon is a way for creators to get paid for creating, and ultimately what we do does cost money to get us hosted and have the services that we need to run the podcast. And so if you'd like to help us do that, jump over onto patreon.com/oztabletalk, and you can give anything from even $1 a month upwards. But at different levels, there are different benefits, different rewards that we want to give you just to say thank you for being an amazing supporter of ours. If you can't afford that, we would just gratefully accept your prayers, because that is what our ministry runs on. And so with that, I will leave you to your day, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.